Welcome to episode 198 of Your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And today is December 11th, 2012. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, kind of everywhere, sort of, not really. Also hosting the show this week, first up, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Yay, I get to go first again. Woohoo! Hello, everyone. Happy
Hello
to be
there.
Here.
Good.
You know what else
Good.
I'm happy about, Greg?
The Steelers lost to the Chargers?
Well, I'm not a fan of the Steelers, but I also don't really care about the Chargers, so no. What okay. I am happy about, though, is that the semester is almost over.
Yes.
And that makes me happy.
Now, does it really make you happy? Because when the semester is over, that means you only have one semester left of doing the teaching stuff, and then you're going to be forced into some other job, which you don't, as of yet, as far as I know what it is.
I don't know if forced is the right word. It is
you
a volunteer.
You need a job now!
Wait.
I believe you said it is a volunteer army.
Yes.
Yes, which is true up until you actually volunteer, and then you don't really get a say.
That's not entirely true either. you get some... There's a dialogue.
I believe if you're on the battlefield and they say rush that bunker.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
You don't really get a choice.
So yes, in the very short term, day to day, if someone tells you to do something and they are in a position to tell you to do something, then yes, you do it. But in the long term, depending upon where you are in your career, there's a dialogue that takes place and you have some control over what type of job you're going to do next and those kind of things. So it's not like I'm just waiting and suddenly I'm going to get something of mail that says, you know, go here and do this and there is no alternative. I've been talking to my assignment officer and figuring out what's best for me to do next based on needs of the Army, my personal preferences, my career progression, those kind of things. So it's not like they spin you around and make you bald and everybody walks in the same direction all the time. It's not North Korea, Greg.
My image of the Army is being destroyed quickly.
I know. To think that soldiers are rational beings that think for themselves and not automatons wearing uniforms is terrible. But to answer your other question, the end of the semester is sort of mixed, right? Because I get my between semesters break, which is nice. But yes, so now I've spent the last 16 weeks getting to know these 40 students that I have this semester, and I have to start that process all over again next semester. So for the first couple weeks of next semester, I'll be like, God, I missed the students that I had last semester. But then once I get to know the new students, and then it'll be all good.
What if they're a bunch of assholes?
Well, I'm an asshole, so we'll get along famously.
There you go. All right. Also on the show this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello.
Yes, Mike.
How are you?
Mike. I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Great to be on the old podcast here, Greg. Christmas is creeping up on us.
It is. It is.
Or if you're Jewish, sorry. You know what I mean? I don't really know.
You can't say sorry. I mean,
it's a joke, Greg. It's a joke, right?
They kind of get. They got a good deal.
Yeah.
However many days of Hanukkah. That's kind
of
a
sweet
deal.
That is.
We are totally offending so many people right now. It's not even funny.
Well,
I believe it is called
I'm covered though because
crazy nights.
I'm covered though because on the other podcast I did, we got a Jew, so I'm saying that's my insurance. So I'm all good.
And we
they're
just
pretty
lost
funny.
Our listeners.
They're pretty funny as well. And
they're all right.
Yeah, they're good. Seinfeld.
Okay.
Seinfeld, they did a good job.
Yeah, Seinfeld is good. Also this week, Mr. Richard Primrose in the house.
Hello. Good
Hello,
evening,
Rich.
And welcome.
Rich, can I ask just a simple favor?
Mm.
Play me a sound effect.
I can do that for you. In your face, Duke Scaff.
Not quite there yet, Rich. Don't go mad.
Yeah, no. We're a little short on the sound effects, but Rich, what is that, by the way? I've been meaning to ask you. You said it earlier, and I completely missed it.
This is my plastic MP5, which has just come from Amazon, ready for my Die Hard party.
So I'm just waiting. Just waiting for my white vest now.
Okay. Well, Die Hard Party. For those that are not in the know, Rich is hosting a party-themed Die Hard movie.
I'm not hosting it. Somebody else's birthday.
All right. Well, that Rich is going to a Die Hard party.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Right.
There is something happening somewhere at some moment, somehow.
You know what has not been happening so far?
Us talking about games.
Yeah. Pretty much.
How did I know he's in the
family? What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
Alright, so games.
Games.
A little bird told me there might be people actually playing games now.
Yeah,
no,
that'd be great.
No one does that. No one podcasts and games at the same time.
Richard Primrose, what are you playing at this very moment?
I'm playing Guardians of Middle-Earth.
You know, let's talk about that. What are you thinking about that game?
Well, I've only just been through the tutorial, and I've got a little bit of experience from playing League of Legends, and this seems very, very worthy. The controller seems to work quite well with the way you upgrade stuff and everything. I'm finding.
I downloaded it, but I have no idea what this game is. So
no, it's quite competent. I'm enjoying it so far.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any more than that. I'll probably leave it till next week because, like I say, I'm literally just playing it now.
Okay. Well, let's focus on what else you played.
Right. Yep. Yeah. What else have I played? I've played a shit ton of Simpsons Tapped Out. And the horde of Tapped Out players is gathering. I'm playing a lot and getting quite a few other players to send me their friend requests and stuff. I've got a bitch, though. EA have finally screwed up my iOS experience with their age-old problem of servers. The servers for that game seem to go down every other day, which is a right pain in the arse, especially when you're trying to cash in. Some wonga. They did an upgrade last week, which puts a Christmas theme, and unlike most games where it just puts a skin for Christmas on everything, they've actually built in loads of little tasks and a whole new currency, so you can do various little missions and earn yourself Santa coins and upgrade stuff and everything. So yeah, it seems like they support the game quite well. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's good. Still not bought any donuts though. I'm not going in for that microtransaction malarkey. No.
Would the donuts? Yes.
Yeah. No way. No way. No.
Yeah. What else?
Donuts. Is there anything they can't do?
They fulfill me. Blobs 2. We're playing that. I'm not saying any more about that.
Okay.
Enjoying it still. Letterpress. I'm getting loads more of that in as well. A lot of mobile gaming this week. And I played some demos as well.
Yeah?
Played the demo for Need for Speed Most Wanted. I like that, but I was a bit upset because it was a timed demo. And I didn't really get to play much race inside of it. You got a good idea of the free roaming. And, you know, the little tasks that you can perform, like bashing through the billboards and stuff, which are really good fun. And the trouble as well was there was loads of stuff left out on the map that you couldn't unlock. That basically, I could only unlock, like, one car whilst I was playing it. But it seems, seems enjoyable, but I don't think the demo gives you enough of a feel of how it is when you're actually playing online or in the single player, which is a pretty bad miss for a demo. They could at least given you a good experience for the single player, I think. But other than that, I think it plays well. The handling and everything's good for an arcade type game. So,
now, did you try Forza Horizon?
I did try Forza Horizon.
How would you compare the two?
I would say, and this is purely for me because I'm more leaning on the side of arcade. I enjoyed this one more, but I don't think. I think Forza Horizon gave you a better idea of the wide scope of events you're going to play. So they won on the demo front. But I like the handling the nitty gritty of bashing cars up and having dramatic crashes and stuff. You can probably do that in Forza Horizon, but I didn't get enough of a feel for that when I was playing the demo. So I would say I'm slightly leaning towards Need for Speed at the moment.
Sacrilege!
I know a lot of people like Horizons more.
Community is going to disown you, totally disown you.
I think the community would probably decide for me, and I think there's a bigger following for Horizon. So when both of these games go on bargain bucket time, I'd probably end up getting Forza Horizons. But
where were you on Black Friday, Rich? Come on, Black Friday,
$15 deal over here, man.
Fly over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just camp out for Black Friday in New York.
Sure.
Makes perfect sense. Spend $1,200 on a plane ticket to save $35 on a game.
Yeah, buy a Region 1 version of a game, bring it back, and then not be able to play it. Great. I'd love it.
You could say hi to Chris.
Yeah, I could do. But he'd probably kick my head in and then just send me back on the plane.
You could come say hello to me, but it might not end well.
So I show you fucking sound effects.
Where's that fucking plastic MP5? I played another demo, Planets Under Attack.
Oh, yeah?
I was very underwhelmed by this because I like a little bit of a strategy fix, and it just wasn't tickling the points that I was tickling. I didn't feel it had anything to it, really.
No good.
No, very simplified. Maybe it's better as you play it, but the demo's not doing its job yet again. Never mind.
Yeah.
Hey-ho. And then I went back to The Walking Dead.
It's about time.
What episode are you on?
I played through 3, because I'd barely started that. And I'm probably about over halfway through 4.
Further than me.
I want to get back on that as soon as possible. First of all, I'm going to be a bit constructive, because I would hope by the amount of awards and stuff this thing's now starting to cash in, that Telltale are going to get a very nice budget and be able to make a very nice game, hopefully for the next generation of consoles and stuff. I would want them to either sort out the gamey side of things with this whole cursor malarkey stuff, or if they wanted, because I'm very forgiving of them because they've created a very beautiful game, take the whole lot out or as much of it as possible. There's various things that got chucked into 3 and 4. There was a shooting gallery type exercise which I thought wasn't necessary, really, and it was just taking me out of the actual story side of it. And another thing that I ended up getting was the repetitiveness of doing things over and over again if you didn't do certain things correctly. Which,
you mean as in you died?
Yeah.
And you had to start over again.
It just ruins the storytelling side of it. If you're going to have that and you want to concentrate on the storytelling side, I would like them to, if they see that you haven't done it the first time, perhaps wind it back and make it a little easier. Not necessarily prompt you, but make the whole exercise easier. Because there were some things that weren't entirely clear with regard to what you were meant to do. And that just took me out of it a bit. Especially in like moments where it did a really good job of leading into the situation that you're in.
I found the most challenging kind of, you know, those, I'll call it a quick time event, because it was kind of, you had to do it within a certain amount of time, otherwise it ended in your death.
Yeah.
And this happens throughout the game, but what they would do is, it was almost like a zombie's coming at you, and you had to take your cursor and line it up over a certain part of their body.
That happens a lot.
And then hit a button. And because of the way they set their sticks up for this game, it's not exactly intuitive to like use the stick and then try and hit the button.
The one that I'm referring to, Greg, I actually had to, my thumb that I usually use on my left thumbstick, I had to move it over and just hold one handle, have the button layout on my right thumb, and then use my left thumb to do the steering of the cursor.
First world problem.
Here's a little tip for you, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but...
Would you?
No. Well, the D-pad
mimics
the buttons on the right.
All right.
So if something is saying hit the Y button, if you hit up on the D-pad, it'll do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it makes it a lot easier, but, you know, because you're seeing those on-screen prompts, you're continuously kind of fighting your own self, saying, I need to hit that button, but my thumb is steering everything. And just, you know, once you get used to it, it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, but the thing is, for me, it's the fact that it's flipped. What you'd normally be doing with the camera would be on the right stick. And the cursor effectively is your camera in them quick time events, and you're having to use it on your left thumbstick. And it just wasn't natural. And if them zombies ripped my intestines out and put their teeth into them one more time, I was going to throw that damn controller at the telly.
Now, on the flip side, Rich, it does kind of create a sense of tension for you as you're playing it, because you're wrestling with the controls a little bit. So, I don't know. In some ways, I think it's kind of effective.
I find the effective frustration in that game being when you've got the timer for the conversations, and that's as far as I need that to go.
Yeah.
This just becomes a little bit tedious, to be honest with you. So.
Well, yeah, after the like, if you fail at a second or a third time, then it becomes really frustrating.
So
one time, I don't mind so much.
Yeah, just wind it back a bit and make it a little bit easier. But the whole thing with the story is just... I got moved earlier in the year by Mass Effect, and I said that in a game.
So did a lot of people.
But yeah, but this is...
This game puts Mass Effect to shame when it comes to emotional. Evoking emotional response in this game seems to be much more effective than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, and I'm not going to spoil it. We will do that, obviously, in due course. But there was one scene in 3 which I think affected Greg deeply, because we had a little bit of a conversation about it on the Friday night.
Yep.
For me, mine was in the 4th episode. So obviously it's good that it affects different people in different ways, and
yeah. I mean, you could almost say every episode there seems to be, at some point or another, at times, something that will evoke emotion from you.
Yep.
And sometimes it's not you know, sad or happy emotion. Sometimes it's like anger. I remember early on in the game, there's a couple times where, you know, I was doing that water cooler kind of conversation with my wife about the game. And I was just like, that mother effer is dead. That dude is dead. First chance I get to get that guy killed by zombies, I'm doing it.
Yep.
So.
I think I knew who you were on about. But the good thing as well is, because they've got a turnaround of characters in that game, they do a really good job of dropping in new characters that are just as interesting and engage you just as much, and you want to know, and you want to look out for them, and you want to, you know, protect them as well. And I mean, there was a couple of instances where no sooner had I got a character and I was attached to them, and then all of a sudden something happens to them, and then you just gutted. So yeah,
no, I think they do. Yeah, they do a very good job with the characters. I mean, all the characters in this game, you never feel like there are characters or there's a large group of characters that are kind of untouchable, whereas like in certain shows, because this equates better, I think, to TV than it does to video games in a lot of ways, you know, you get a sense. These characters are in this show for good. They're not going anywhere. And then there's kind of the outlying characters that they could leave and come, you know, from a show, and you probably would never notice they left. In the Walking Dead game, it feels like every character, you're constantly, like, on edge of who potentially is going to get it next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I also liked about The Walking Dead, and this was brought up in another podcast I was listening to, but I thought it was really spot on. I think The Walking Dead does a better job of being an RPG in some ways than any other RPG I've played. Most RPGs you play, you're kind of making decisions that are affecting the world around you. Whereas in The Walking Dead, I really felt like I was taking control of the character Lee, but the decisions I was making were shaping who Lee was to become.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that it was such a unique, different spin on it. You felt like, you know, this is the kind of person I want him to be, and then you would base your decisions on that. But sometimes you kind of had to fight yourself because you realized maybe your choices weren't the best choices already. And so could you backpedal from that? Did you maybe want to kind of change course and direction with your character? So it's an excellent game. I highly recommend it. And I know you do, Rich. I pretty much anybody who starts playing it, I think you can easily see why there's such an attraction for this game.
I've got a dream scenario that I'd love to see played out. I would love Telltale to just go and basically kidnap all of the game designers and engineers and stuff from Quantic Dreams, kick David Cage's head in, lock him in a cupboard, and then
just, brutal.
Yeah, and then have like a 2-year development cycle to come up with a badass, technically sound game. They could then poach in somebody that does like game controls for, say, Epic, and sort that side of things out. And then, hey ho, 2 years' time, a beautiful story-driven game. I'd love that. Absolutely love that.
All right, you hearing that, Quantic Dreams? Go beat up David Cage.
Yeah, I gotta worry about things.
We'll go from there.
Yeah.
All right, Rich, anything else on your list?
No, that's it really. Apart from today, I downloaded Unreal Engine.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Rich, and before I let you, before we leave, you did say you had a Skylander story you wanted to tell us.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I want to leave that to the shout-outs, though.
Okay, we'll leave that to the shout-outs.
Yeah.
Rich, you're going to make a game. That's the plan?
No, not necessarily. No, the whole idea is I'm trying to get my son into using computers constructively. So I think...
Never going to happen.
Well, we'll see, because he's mad into Minecraft, and I was watching tutorials and stuff to do with Unreal Engine, because we're winding down at work a bit, so I got some tutorials watched. And the map level design and stuff seems a lot similar to some of the stuff that you could equate it to, say, Minecraft and stuff like that, but then there's a lot more other stuff that goes into it, like your dynamic lighting and stuff like that, which I think I could probably pick up. So I want to have a blast at just... Because you can download it. Obviously, you only have to pay for it if you start selling games. So I want to download it and get myself and my son involved in playing with it. And then I was also looking at UV mapping and rendering textures on wireframes. And that seems very similar to some of the stuff that I do at work. So I want to have a play. Yeah. I want to have a play with that as well. So,
all right.
So hopefully it's going to pan out. But
future updates.
Yeah,
that's what we want.
We'll see. I'm just working out what computer I'm going to put it on, because I ain't got a decent PC. So I don't know if to put it on work and use it remotely or start thinking about sorting a PC out, which is another dilemma that's going to come in the next 12 months when we see what happens with Steam and the consoles.
First world problem.
Yeah.
First world problem.
It is.
All right. Mike, let's talk your games.
Hello,
Mike. What have you played?
Right. I've been playing Black Ops 2.
Yeah. Story or multiplayer?
Single player.
What are you thinking so far?
It is a video game.
Also true.
I don't think it's as good as the first Black Ops. But I like it. I think it's better than Modern Warfare's efforts of recent years. I like it. It's just one of them. It's kind of turned into like a Steven Seagal type thing now. You know?
Yeah, a little bit.
So, the side missions are interesting. Not sure if I like them.
I stopped at the first one. I haven't picked up Black Ops 2 since, so I'm just getting ready to do the first side mission.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
You know, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I've heard, like, the whole, like, you know, kind of controlling and directing the AI to do your
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Doesn't quite work so well.
No. I'm trying to think why. Maybe because
they just don't follow you. you say go attack this and they don't do it.
Yeah, it's not very quick. It's not as quick as you'd think it would be.
Okay.
But, like, it's certainly more effective than going in there and trying to do it all yourself. Because that's what I tried to do the first time round. Which I did finish it the first time round, but my game crashed, so I had to do it again. And the second time round, I was a lot more, like, in the air, controlling the troops and the turrets and the crawler from the air. And it just turns into kind of like an RTS type thing.
Right.
So,
which that intrigued me. I am gonna be honest. I was very kind of excited about that, but
it's very different to what you get in Call of Duty. I just don't think it works. Like, I just don't think it fits very well.
So interesting idea. Poor execution, maybe.
I don't know if it's poor, but it just doesn't seem to kind of like be in the right place in the right game, you know. And I don't want to be too harsh on it because I think you got to credit them for trying something new, because everyone's complaint about Blops is, or Call of Duty is, it's the same every year. And then when they change something, everyone gets pissy about it and starts to kind of, oh, well, just stick to the formula. So they can't really win, can they?
Now, let me ask you, Mike, and because, again, I'm not that far into the game, but is this are these missions considered the branching paths in the storyline? Because I haven't come across one yet, but I haven't come across one yet.
Okay. As far as I know, no. I think the branching paths are more like to do with proper missions, and if you don't get this thing at the certain time, then it goes away or flies away, and then you have to deal with it another way. As far as I know, the side missions affect how much support you get in the end.
Right.
Apparently, Stu didn't do any of the side missions because he thought they was horrible. And his
readiness level was zero.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much that Mass Effect thing of, like, you don't get some extra support. Maybe they clear out a floor for you or something. I don't know. But you get more support from other people. I quite like it, though. I did the horse level. And you fucking run around on horses for some reason.
Okay, that horse animation was horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm trying to work out what characters what from the first one, and I don't know. The numbers are involved. Reznov. What's his name? Sam from Clash of the Titans is going around.
From Clash of the Titans.
What's his name? What's the actor's name?
I don't recall his name.
He's a big actor. Big Hollywood actor. What's his name?
Don't look at me. He's telling me I should know his name. Why don't you know his name? Can't be that big.
But yeah, he's going around, you know, doing all this stuff. Sam Worthington, there you go. That's him.
Thank God for Google.
Sam Worthington. yeah, he's playing the main character. He's going around, oh, the numbers, blah, 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 blah. Some interesting scenes with, like, one of your friends has got kidnapped and you have to kind of sort him out and he gets fucked up. And, yeah, there's some alright scenes in there. It's not a terrible game. I'm making it out to be worse than it is. I like it. I enjoy it. It's just, you know, it's not something that I go, oh my God, it's amazing. I can't wait to jump back into it. Like, I haven't played it now for, like, 4 or 5 days. And I'm like, oh, I'll get around to it. You know, it's not, like, Mass Effect. You play it and you're obsessed with it. And even, like, a game like Skyrim, which I've had, like, for some reason, I've had a real itch to play Skyrim again.
Okay.
And I said this last night, I think it's something to do with Christmas, right? Because I played it last Christmas, and I was like, yeah, this is good, I'm getting into it. And I don't know why, but I really want to play it again. But, like, you know, a game like Skyrim, like, sticks with you, and I kind of know what I'm doing and where I am. But with Call of Duty, like, you just... It's just popcorn, you know? It's just like a popcorn movie. It's got, yeah, this is explosions and stuff. Cool.
It almost makes sense why they keep their single-player campaign so short, because
yeah.
I think if it was any longer, you'd kind of get numb to the story. I mean, it's already, you know, Michael Bay, big explosions all the time. I don't think they could make it go much longer without kind of fatigue setting in.
I mean, I think the story one was really good. I like the whole kind of like numbers thing, and it's not too bad here, like, because you jump from like the 80s to the future to the 80s to the future, kind of like Back to the Future. But you're jumping around all the time, and it doesn't really get confusing. It's just I actually didn't really prefer the futuristic parts. I preferred the past missions.
Right.
I don't know why. I just prefer kind of like guns that I know, rather than they're not too futuristic, you know.
Right. It's just futuristic enough to give them some different little bells and whistles, but
yeah, look,
futuristic enough for you to be like, okay, I know what that is. I know basically what that kind of gun is going to do.
There's things like one thing I was impressed with is like I thought I had these like special glasses on, like you know in Halo 3 ODST where you kind of scanned out the environment and. Does it look with a blue tint? But what happens is, you know when you look down the sight and you've got like a for the gun for the red dot sight, like you got like a window, right? You got a dot and then the window that you can see it through. Well, imagine that window scans the environment. So every time you look through it, it scans like the area. I thought that was pretty cool. There's some interesting like weapons which I'm sure are kind of like in the works at the moment type weapons, you know. And they always have that camo. They love that camo, don't they? You know, that invisible camo. They always promise it's coming. Like Ghost Recon's like, it's coming next year, folks. but like that, I think they just enjoy doing it more than anything. So
Chris, is that camo coming next year?
Chris.
No. Is not gonna tell us.
No, it isn't.
Invisible soldiers. Are we going to get invisible soldiers next year?
Next year, no.
Are we going to get invisible soldiers in the next 10 years?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Fact.
So there you go. Maybe they're right. Folks. Now we know what Chris is working on after he stopped teaching.
Let's move over to the other game, Mike, because I think you and Chris actually might be talking about that, which is Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, right. The list might not be up to date, but I finished...
What the hell, Mike?
I finished it. And I spoke about it last week, I'm sure I did.
That's right. Okay, so you did.
Update your
list. Yeah.
All right, you did.
But
talk about something else then.
Halo Wars.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Dance, monkey, dance. Anything that has been released this year, Mike?
Halo Wars. DLC?
Yeah, you've got your strategy. You've got the strategy that you're refusing to
be on. No, I've just been playing more Halo Wars. Wow. There are friendly people on Halo Wars.
They are.
They always say good GG, good game. So yeah, that's it. I've got Dishonored coming. Dishonored's in the post.
Okay.
Really wanted Far Cry. So I'm hearing everybody banging on about it, but I've got to send Assassin's. I tried. Oh, here we go. Assassin's Creed 3 multiplayer. Ah, there's something I haven't talked about. It's all right. I don't. I don't know what it is, but people don't play it right, I don't think. People just run around all the time. It's like the whole
if it's not team deathmatch, people have a hard time with it.
Well, that was the reason.
To, like, act like you're an AI, right?
Unless they can get away with it and they figured, oh, well, if I can just run around faster than anybody else, I can, you know...
I don't know. It just doesn't seem to work, and I like acting like an AI, you know, and like walking into walls or something. It's fun, but I don't know. Eventually, you do some cool kills, and it is quite satisfying when someone walks past you and you're in a haystack, or you're hiding in like amongst a couple of people, and you just go bang. You didn't even see that coming, did you? But it's few and far between. I don't know, Chris. You played some. Brotherhood.
Yeah, I played the Brotherhood multiplayer, and that's what I was saying a second ago, was one of the reasons I did not get... One of the reasons I went with Assassin's Creed on the PC was not only did I save some money, but I just wasn't interested in the multiplayer at all for this one because of what you're talking about on Brotherhood. You know, it just turned into a, you know, run around and stab people.
Yep.
anyway.
And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, they've added a few bells and whistles in it as well, you know, with the whole... I don't know, there's perks in there. There's different character models. You can customize them. Custom taunts and all this bullshit, but to be honest, I couldn't be bothered. Like, I was just like, oh, whatever. I don't think you have to have an online pass, though, to play it, which I was quite impressed by. But
just a Uplay, account?
Yeah, no, because he does keep asking you, hey, you know when you have an achievement in an Assassin's Creed game,
right.
It goes, you play points, it's like, fuck off, get out of here. they always try it, don't they? That was Uplay points. They ask you, like, oh, you know, do you have a Uplay account you can sign in and unlock a certain character? And you just, oh, shut up, and skip it. But, you don't need that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for that, Mike. Mr. Matthew.
Not a problem.
Let's see. I have been playing a few games, not many. I played some more Halo 4, got in on the multiplayer, having some fun with that. We were on for last night for the Monday night Halo.
Yes, I jumped on too late.
On your birthday?
That's what you get on my birthday. Yes, and I don't know who it was that was guarding me during the last round of Regicide, but they were doing a wonderful job. I thought I was having the game of my life, and then I suddenly realized that I just had two people protecting me because I was ding.
Guardian
angels. And I was stealing all of their kills. So whoever you are, thank you, and I'm sorry. But that's good. I'm liking Halo 4. Good fun. Been playing the heck out of XCOM this week. I've decided I'm going to try to do the classic difficulty, yeah. Iron Man. It's the much, much more tense experience when you're doing that, because there's no going back if you make a mistake. And I just love the way they're – every time I play – the more and more I play this game, the more I appreciate how well they've actually – the Firaxis has done with it. The way the music changes and adds to the tension when you're in contact versus out of contact and all of these things. So, well done. I think I've said that enough, though. What else have I played? I played Unity of Command. I started playing the tutorial for that today. It's basically a PC version of an old board game, like the old hex-based, you know, Panzer Leader board games from long ago.
Right.
And it's all World War II Eastern Front missions that you can play out. I've just kind of barely gotten into it. It's not graphically amazing. It's all just moving icons around a board. But it looks like it's going to have a pretty good depth to it once you get into it and figuring out how the different units advantages and disadvantages, and also supply chains, you know, having to manage your supply chain stuff. So I think that'll be good. And then I played the first little bit of Torchlight 2, Torchlight 2, it's kind of more of the same, which is good.
It's a dungeon crawler type thing, right?
Yeah, like a little Diablo light kind of thing, I guess. I picked it up for $5 on a Steam sale. The only thing I don't like about it so far is it doesn't support the Xbox 360 controller. At least I haven't figured out how to turn that option on.
Weird.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, except I don't have a proper mouse for my keyboard. Or for my PC, I have a wireless keyboard with a little touchpad dealio. So I think if I get a proper mouse, that might be a little bit more enjoyable. So I guess I'll have to go find one.
I think you will.
What else have I been playing? I believe that to be all.
Okay.
That is all.
That is all. Hitman Absolution for me, continuing along the single
campaign. How's
that
going?
I'm enjoying it. I love the Hitman franchise. I've been a fan for a few games back now. So I think what I figured out, what I like about Hitman Absolution, it's... Every contract or, you know, every scenario, it's like a puzzle. And there are multiple different ways you can solve the puzzle. All the pieces basically stay the same. So if you restart that, you know, you restart a level, it's going to be the same setup. from the get-go. There are some variables that get thrown into it, but, you know, all in all, it's not like it's a complicated game. Once you figure out how to do the mission, you can pull it off, unless you somehow, you know, just screw up timing on something. But, you know, there's a way through it. But what I also like about Hitman is it's not a fail state. So if you don't do it right to solve the puzzle, you can continue and fix it by doing a different strategy.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, a perfect example is I was playing a level, had to take this guy out that was kind of in the center of an area, and I had some options on how to take him out. I went to take him out, and you have to have not only the plan to kill him, but also an exit strategy. And so I took him out, but my exit strategy I thought was going to work completely got blocked out by some guards, and I had to come up with a new strategy on how to get out of there.
Huh.
And ended up using a diversion to get the guards away from the exit door and then just skated out through the exit door. It's a fun little kind of sandbox for, you know, just, I don't know, it kind of brings out that sadistic side of you in certain ways, because if you really think about what you're doing as a hitman, you're not necessarily the nicest dude in the world. They try to justify it, but when you find out you're killing a civilian, because, you know, the game, my one criticism, but there's two things I would have loved them not to do. One, in the single player campaign, not to put a scoreboard up in the corner telling you when you're getting negative points or positive points for doing whatever you're doing. Because it kind of breaks, you know, it breaks you out of the moment of the game. And there are some times where, you know, you're like, hey, to get to this guy, I need to take out this guy and dress up like a cook. Well, half the time cooks in these levels can be bad guys. And then half the time, some of the times the cooks will be civilians, which if you kill them or take them out, you get a severe penalty for taking them out.
So you have to know their life story before you kill them.
Pretty much.
Right.
Pretty much.
Detailed, this is detailed.
But
Greg, can you answer me what year the first Hitman game came out?
No, I cannot. It's probably like 1997 or something.
No.
2004?
No.
All right, I give up.
2000.
Ah, all right.
As you were.
I was close within like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, you was kind of in between. If you did the mean or the medium, whichever one that's in the middle, then you would have got it.
Played. Hot and cold would have got me there.
Bam.
But yeah, I really am enjoying it, and it is a gorgeous game. The explosions in this game are some of the best I've seen. They rank right up there with, I think Ghost Recon has some of the best explosions as well.
I love the way you write explosions, kind of, Greg. Yeah. Best explosions I've seen.
How can you not love a good explosion?
I was always impressed at the time of GoldenEye 007's explosions.
Yes.
Now, when I see them now, I realize that they're like 3 or 4 different layers of fire, and they just turn according to you, where your perspective is. But yeah, at the time, it blew my shit. Hitman.
Yeah. Hitman. Far Cry. It's a good game. It's a good game. Also a good game. Far Cry 3.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Gamefly sent me Far Cry 3. I played really only probably just past the tutorial.
Have you been eaten by a lion or tiger or whatever?
I've not been eaten by any animals.
Okay.
I have confronted animals. This game, similar to, I think it was what, Dead Space 2, the intro to that was really good. Kind of. It was a good tutorial section. It had you kind of on the edge of your seat, but it was also just it was good in teaching you the mechanics of the game, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Far Cry 3 has a similar kind of level of you start off and you're just like, okay, I'm in, for lack of a better way to put it, I'm in the shit. I got to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, how to get out of this. And it feels chaotic yet under control. Just really, really good. So, I don't have – I can't really form a true opinion about Far Cry 3 because, again, I've only played about, 15, 20 minutes of the game. So I could very well get bored of the game, but I got to say, everything I've seen so far has impressed me. There are tons – it's a first-person shooter Skyrim. It's the best way I can put it.
Cool.
You've got RPG elements. You've got this open world. You can pretty much go anywhere, do anything. You have to collect things to create things. And the story and voice acting is top-notch so far. Voss, the villain, and you've seen him in all the trailers and stuff. He is one creepy dude.
Yep.
And, yeah. So as soon as I get through Hitman, and I need to get through Assassin's Creed 3, Far Cry 3 will probably then come back into my playlist. I'm just I'm getting bogged down on all these games, so I got to get back into just finishing some of these single-player games. If you are thinking about picking up Far Cry 3, I can say pretty safely I don't think you'll regret picking it up.
Well, buying it full price?
You know what? It's going to be like Skyrim. I think you'll be able to play this game for a very, very long time.
Interesting.
So I think you'll get your money's worth out of it. Other than that, I did a little Halo 4 last night. I downloaded the new Crimson map pack and jumped on, but I was too late for the Monday Night Halos. But played a little bit. Played on the new, I think it was called Shatter. It's one of the new maps. That and was it Wreckage? No, Chris, you might be able to tell me what the new map names were, but there was one that just seems like it was massive.
I didn't get the new maps, so I know nothing of this.
Okay, I believe it's Wreckage, and it's like the Infinity spacecraft crash landed next to this like lake environment, and just there's all these nooks and crannies, and it's just huge. Good for vehicles, and just. Kind of all these, you're basically weaving your way in and out of the Infinity ship, and it's awesome. Trying to think of what else. I think that was really kind of it. Other than the VGAs, and talk about that real briefly. I don't know if people caught it or not, but Friday the Video Game Awards ceremony was on Spike TV, Xbox Live. I basically streamed it off of Xbox Live, and so that allowed me to do a little streaming of my own and capturing. And so we posted up a video, which you can see. It's on the front page of Gates on the OverseasConnection.net, on the YouTube channel, all that good stuff. But lots of new game trailers, reveals. They showed a bunch of the Gears of War Judgment video footage. I got to say, I'm not super pumped about Gears of War Judgment.
I haven't seen anything.
It looks great. It looks like Gears of War, but it looks like Gears of War.
Right.
If that makes sense. It doesn't look anything different than Gears of War 3. And so for that, I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Right.
And the fact that that's the only quote unquote Xbox 360 like AAA game exclusive for the first half of 2013. And we don't know of any other exclusive game coming out for the Xbox for 2013 other than that game. That more than anything tells me Microsoft has plans for, a new console for E3.
Okay.
You don't go into 2013 with one exclusive title.
No,
for the
they got some lined up. They got some lined
I
up.
I think what it tells me is Microsoft knows the world is going to end.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
might as well start saving money on developing.
Also true. All right, that is it for me. So let's dive into some new releases. All right, so new releases this week. On the Wii U, 007 Legends comes out this week. Hits the retail shelves.
That'll get him running out for it.
Yeah, that definitely will.
Mommy, 007 Legends is out on the Wii U. I have to get one. Yay. You're 27, Mike.
On the PS3 this week, The retail edition of The Walking Dead hits store shelves. You also have on PSN Ben 10 Omniverse, Big Sky Infinity, Black Knight Sword, Demolition Inc., Judge D, The City of God Case,
Jesus Christ,
and Mix Superstar, all on PSN. Demos this week, you've got Big Sky Infinity, Black Knight Sword, and Mix Superstar. And DLC, you're looking at Assassin's Creed 3, The Tyranny of King Washington, Battlefield 3, Aftermath, and Dishonored Dunwall City Trials. Moving over to the PS Vita, you can simply download off the PSN Big Sky Infinity, and there's a demo for it as well.
Infinity Ward.
Xbox 360 this week, you've got The Walking Dead, the retail version, and Xbox Live Arcade, Black Knight Sword comes out this week, also comes with a demo, and DLC front, Assassin's Creed 3, The Tyranny of King Washington, and Dishonored Dunwall City Trials, along with Pinball FX 2 Zen Classics coming out this week. Moving over to the PC and Mac, you've got Assassin's Creed 3, The Tyranny of King Washington, Dishonored Dunwall City Trials, Europa Universalis 3 Absolutism. Yeah, these are all downloadable titles here. You also have Europa Universalis 3, that thing, Revolution 2, available for download. And Party of Sin, sounds like this podcast. Also, Test Drive, Ferrari Racing Legends, and Unity of Command, Red Turn. Mr. Matthew, that might interest you.
Yeah, that was actually what got me on the Unity of Command demo, was I saw that DLC advertised, so I went to take a look at the demo. Yeah, I'll see what comes.
Okay. Well, that does it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right. So it's news quiz time.
Bam, bam, bam.
Which,
bam, bam.
It's a short news quiz this week.
Bam.
Short news quiz.
Because we're going to talk news quiz, and then we're going to talk about our Game of the Year categories and finalize that.
Game of the Year, Game of the Year. Sorry.
So first things first.
Right.
News quiz. Mr. Matthew.
You know, I want to tell you, I always go first. I don't mind. But sometimes I think you want to randomize it, and you're like stuck in your randomizer.
Mr. Matthew, you are not going to go first.
Well played.
Mr. Matthew, well played. You will go last. You will get the hardest question out of all.
Awesome.
Okay. Rich.
Yeah.
You are going to go second. Mike, you are going to go first.
Okay.
Mike.
I'm not bothered.
Which of these apps is coming to the Xbox 360, but only coming to the U.S. today? So let me reword this in a way that you can actually understand it. All of these apps are coming to the Xbox 360.
Right.
But only one of these apps is actually coming to the Xbox 360 today in the U.S. Is it A, SkyDrive,
mm-hmm.
B, Maxim, C, Karaoke?
SkyDrive.
No.
Shit.
Maxim is coming out today, and then there's going to be a later worldwide launch for SkyDrive, as well as Karaoke. There's actually like 40 new apps coming out to the Xbox 360.
SkyDrive looks good. I started uploading to it already. Getting ready.
Yeah. So... yeah, my prediction, the next Xbox is going to be more like a PC than a console. They're loading so many apps, and a SkyDrive app, let's face it, you can have documents, you can have photos, you could have, I think, videos?
Yeah, videos.
Music?
Yeah.
Music? So, and it's a sharing app, so I could access your SkyDrive, you can access my SkyDrive,
ooh.
Just don't tell my wife.
Yeah.
All right, Rich. Valve has confirmed what for next year? A PC-based game console. B, full support for the Oculus Rift glasses. Or C, a new hybrid controller for PC/console gamers.
Could you just say the first one again, please, Craig?
A PC game console.
Could you just say the first one again, please?
No, that's not been finalised. But I still don't know what it is. Is it the hybrid controller?
No, it's actually the PC game console. They came out and they said they're coming out with their Steam console.
They didn't say they was coming out with the console. They said they're going to be in the market for it. They haven't said they're going to do it next year. Still testing the water, mate.
Gabe Newell revealed the console would be going head-to-head with the next-gen gaming console.
Which, you don't know when that's going to release anyway. So, you can't say it's next year. Steward's inquiry. Foul.
Alright, fair enough. We'll call foul on that, but that is the big news. PC game console from Steam. It is basically official. We don't know if it's official next year, maybe the year after, but it's going to have to be within that time frame for sure. We can pretty much guarantee, I think they're going to try and make this a Linux box.
Yeah, that sounds right from reading. And the other,
but my,
you know, the thing about this is, you know, this is, and it's them doing a good job actually. It's more or less certified me putting off getting a console if it does get announced for September or whatever next year, because I want to see what the specs are and what Steam's doing. And there's a trend, especially within our community and stuff, of people already migrating over to Steam.
Right.
So, I mean, I could, whereas 12 months ago, I don't think there'd be many people I'd be able to turn a Steam box on or a PC on and know who I was playing with. But now I know I can count a fair few people that I could jump into a game with.
I've been noticing the same. There's been a lot of people migrating towards the PC. I think what we're seeing is the end of the console generation. Right, it kind of goes in waves. The next round of consoles will come out, and they'll rival PCs in terms of graphic fidelity and performance. And then PCs will kind of take a backseat for a couple of years until the hardware, you know, incrementally advances so that the PCs are, you know, and there's always going to be a crowd that just don't want to fiddle with the PC, right? So there's always going to be a place for the consoles, but yeah.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think that's where, you know, Gabe Newell kind of sees this Steam box fitting in, is for those people that don't want, you know, an upgrade, you know, have to do the upgrades. They want something that's going to play PC quality games on their television. But I don't know. I'm kind of having a hard time seeing this being a huge success, because to at least from my look at the industry and kind of where Steam fits in. You know, Steam is, you know, kind of a hardcore PC gamer interface right now.
I don't think that's true, though. Not with.
Well, I mean, hardcore picture. Maybe is a rough. It's maybe a harsher way of saying it. But look, the only people using Steam are people that are playing more or less, you know, are hardcore kind of PC gamers.
Not true. I don't think that's true at all.
I think that's totally true.
No, because if you listen,
it's the go-to environment for PC.
Well, certainly it's the go-to environment for PC, but it's not like the quote-unquote hardcore PC gamers. There is no Steam on the Xbox, right?
But how do you see casual games?
Absolutely. Have you looked at the Steam library lately?
Yeah, no, I know they have a ton of them, but I guess my question is,
those are always in the top 10.
All right,
and don't you think as well, Chris, that there's. And it's not just us, it's with youngsters as well, because I hear this about the kids at school with my daughters and stuff. There's a trend as well of whereas people went from PCs into consoles when consoles first came out, they've been through that cycle of the console, the youngsters, and they've gone out and got themselves into Steam. And I think that's growing. I think there's going to be more of that as we go along. And when you put a brand name or a product that's going to sit on your shelf and do what a console does, if it's got a Steam name on it, I think they're
vastly overrating the brand value of Steam.
Okay.
I'm not vastly overrating the fact that everyone who knows anything about games knows that the place to find cheap games is on Steam. Well, not the place,
right,
but a place.
Right. But also a vast majority of those people like PC gaming in the form of they can upgrade their PC, they can do what they want. I don't think the console, the Steam box console they're talking about services that crowd.
Well,
it's for a different demographic, and I don't know that demographic is tied in to Steam.
See, if it's going to be, as you say, a Linux box, right, there's no reason it can't be upgradable.
Then what's the point of making it? If all you're doing is creating a box that can be upgraded and you're just making a PC.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one that a consumer can see in a shop and say, oh, my God.
Consumers can see in a shop a PC now. So is it...
We're talking about marketing, mate. We're talking about marketing. Just the same way that Microsoft's going to be splitting their demographic by bringing a low-end entertainment box that Joe Bloggs can go buy. And they'll split off and do a console, which is for people that want to play games. Steam have got that attitude of, well, we can have a bit of this if we want. We can create a box that somebody can walk into a shop, pick it up, and know that they're going to get great games and it's going to be cheap. Marketing.
Now you're making some assumptions.
I'm not making assumptions. A year's a long time, Greg. A year's a long time. Let's see where this goes.
I will admit that I'm also a bit skeptical. And the reason I'm skeptical is because from my seat, Valve have a great business model where they have set up what is essentially a fancy web browser, and people can go there and buy stuff from other people, and then they get a little slice off the top. So to me, going into the hardware development business is risky. And I know that the people that work for Valve are probably every bit as clever as I am, and they wouldn't be willing to take that chance if they didn't think they were onto something.
Mm.
But the question, and I still argue that this is just a PC with Valve slapped on the box.
Sure.
So I don't know, does it really compete up against consoles, or does it compete up against other PCs?
Well, let's just see the big picture as being the test period.
I think it depends on the form factor.
Yeah,
big picture is available on any PC.
Yeah,
using
I know
Steam.
That, Greg. I know that. Well, I think you're missing the point of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you can get that so it's honed up and tuned up, say over the next year, and then create that as your interface for the box that you're going to be able to plug in your HD cable, get your controller that's already wireless because they've been testing that for 2 years, whenever they bring it out. Yeah, and then say to people, here's an alternative, and then you've got a bunch of gamers that have been playing games for the last 15 years that are aware of what Steam are, whether they're at school or they're our age and have been playing games.
Right.
And I'm not going to say that they're going to go, oh, these are going to outshine Microsoft, but
I'm not even going there.
Player in the market. Definitely.
No, I'm not trying to say it. I don't even necessarily know it's going to compete up against the Sony and Microsoft consoles. I think this Steam box is actually going to have its biggest issue is going to be competing with the rigs that these people have been already using to play their games. So what you're telling me is
no.
Valve is going to put out a PC console that could be hooked up to your television that I can already do with my own PC, courtesy of Big Picture Mode. I can hook my PC up to my TV now if I want to. So that is, to me, that demographic doesn't care at all about the Steam box.
Okay, I'll put a scenario your way then. We've heard two people, probably three people, talk about wanting to get into PCs, yeah? And just about each one of them has says, oh, I know somebody that knows how to build a PC, yeah? How many of us, if they were offered a console at, say, £325, the price that, say, Stuart paid for his, yeah, How many of them wouldn't say, instead of having to know somebody that can help me out with that, I can go into a shop and buy it and know that it will run all of the games that are currently out there and the ones that are going to be the top end for the next 3 years. Because they've got that pedigree of showing that they can play them games on their interface. And right. That's it. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying, but and again, there's a lot of unknowns to this. So, and I guess maybe the speculation, a few pieces of speculation are, one, that this Steam box is going to be at that 300-pound range. We don't know where this is going to come out at cost-wise.
Yeah, that's purely my guess.
No. And it's not a bad guess, because we know that's where consoles in the past have kind of gone to, but we also know that those companies have manufactured these consoles at a loss. Including the, basically trying to get the best of the world at the time, they put them out at a loss. Those companies are able to absorb that loss over the long haul because they have things like licensing fees. They have a lot of different pieces of the puzzle in place. Maybe Valve goes that route, but if they do go that route, I think Steam and the way that they carry out that plan is going to vastly change. I don't think Valve, as it currently stands and just has Steam as a browser where they're taking a percentage off the sale of every game, is enough of a revenue stream for them to go out and fund consoles at a loss in a mass market. I could be completely wrong, and I'm willing to admit that, but I think this is a precarious
area. I agree with you that this is a risk. But again, I feel like a business doesn't survive as long as this business has without being a bit savvy for these kind of things. And you think about it, I mean, everybody knows, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but people who are into gaming know the Valve name, right? Like this is one company in a country that hates evil corporations. This is one corporation that's convinced us they're not evil, right? And I don't know that they have to develop the consoles at a loss. If it's going to be a Linux box or similar, they're really just going to, it might be nothing more than they're going to go out and they're going to build the custom PC for you with the right form factor. Not a tower that looks weird in your living room, but a form factor that looks good on your entertainment shelf. But they can use the shelf hardware. They don't have to necessarily.
Here's a question.
That's where the losses come from, is the R&D.
Right, but then if they go with the Linux box, and this is my PC ignorance, but how does that affect games that are set up to run on Windows? Do they suddenly not be able to run those?
I am fairly certain that you can run...
They could do an emulator that could run it?
Emulation or virtualization thing, something like
that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
They're smarter than me, dude. I'm just going to go with it.
It definitely is interesting, and Rich, I am with you in that I want to hear more about the box and get an idea of what they're going to be putting out. Because, hey, who knows? Maybe they really do just take over the entire console industry. You got to figure Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo even can't be happy about hearing about this. So it's going to be interesting.
Is Half-Life 3 coming out?
Never.
So here's my prediction. Half-Life 3
launch title,
exclusive launch title for the Steam box.
Everybody's gonna buy it.
Yeah, everybody. That would be a savvy business move on their part, for sure.
A coup de grace, even.
Mr. Matthew, next question to you.
All right, I'm ready.
Fall Grah.
NPDs came out. Yep, they happened. How well did the Wii ultimately do in the NPD hardware rankings? Did it finish second, third, or fourth?
Let's see. Wii sales in November.
Google.
Yeah, no. Second, third, or fourth? I'm going to go with second.
No.
Dang. Oh, well.
So Xbox 360 came in at number one. They sold pretty amazingly 1.26 million units.
But wait,
units.
Didn't the Wii U come out at the same time?
Yes, it
Isn't
did.
Isn't the Wii U a launch console?
It is.
You'd think limited the Wii U would sell more.
Limited supply chain, Mike. Limited supply chain.
Bollocks. Kiss my ass. I could buy a Wii U right now if I wanted to. Bullshit.
The Nintendo 3DS came in at number 2 with 540,000 units. That should tell you how the rest of the consoles fared. Not terribly well in comparison. The Wii U came in at number 3 at 425,000. Now, this is just the known one, so you have to take this with a grain of salt because the PS3 is somewhere in the mix there. I believe it's actually ranked number 2. We don't know the official numbers, but the estimations were it was somewhere in the 600,000 range.
It's amazing that the PS3 and the Xbox are still going.
I know. But the Wii came in at 420,000 units, almost outselling the Wii U for the month.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then just some odd things. So the PlayStation Vita Assassin's Creed 3 bundle with the and the COD bundle together, both those Vita bundles came out at 180,000 units.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And, it's Black Friday, right?
Well, this is all of November, so all Black Friday included.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's why they're interesting.
The really disappointing number, I think, for Sony had to have been the Vita Battle, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Right.
For Vita, sold less than 8,000 units.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
That's really bad. Oh, holy shit.
In terms of software, no surprise, Black Ops 2 finished at number 1. Kind of surprising, Halo 4 came in at number 2, and Assassin's Creed 3, with all of its SKUs, ranked number 3.
That's amazing. Halo still got it, because it's on one console, and Assassin's Creed 3 is on 3, the Wii U. So, you know, Halo's still fucking, it's still got it, man. For some reason, people still love it. I mean, I love it, but like, I just thought people would have moved on by now and just kind of, like, not, but I suppose, I still love it. Huh.
Speaking of having it, Just Dance 4 came at number 4.
Well.
Madden NFL 13, a surprising comeback at number 5. Rich knows a little bit about this. Skylander Giants came in at number 6. Need for Speed Most Wanted at number 7, NBA 2K13 at 8, WWE 13 at number 9, and FIFA 13 came in at 10. So lots of sports games in the top 10, but kind of to be expected. Sports games tend to be a very popular.
Sport does okay. Does okay. Sport.
Does, hey.
A lot of people go and watch it for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Steve Conger, Pittsburgh. All right, so that does it for the news quiz, guys.
That wasn't a very short news
quiz. It was an excellent quiz.
Well
done, Gregory.
It was a heated news quiz.
What?
It was a debate. Yes.
There'd be a fight at one point.
Speaking of fighting, let's talk about our end-of-the-year categories.
Uh-huh.
We need to iron this out. So we had some suggestions. I went through and kind of weeded down. I think I've got... more or less, I think, a good framework. I'm going to throw these out there. If you guys want to add some, take one off.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
So here we go. One was, and these first two are not specifically tied to this year. But one was, kind of a best three games of this console cycle. So from 2005 up until this year... best three games.
Wow.
That's good.
So that could be pretty fun.
I think we could
throw quite a few games up there. We could debate that
for sure.
Well,
they'd all be Rockstar games.
No, they wouldn't. But so I liked that one a lot.
LA Noir, GTA 4, and Red Dead Redemption.
LA Noir is not even going to sniff that list. stupidest decision by a company this generation. I kind of liked this one. So we can go back through some of the more critical decisions and... maybe rank those up there. I don't know. Yeah. Food for thought on that.
Okay, I like that one. I've got some good eye suggestions on that one.
And then for this year's categories, specifically tied to this year, so I thought we'd divide up the games into two sections, best $60 game this year and best under $20 game this year.
Oh, interesting.
So this way you kind of separate the more retail...
The men from the boys.
Exactly. But, you know, there's... You know, and maybe we still have to have just best game of the year, because I'll say this. There are some games for best under $20 game that certainly could be competing
Where
with
the best...
Where does
Walking Dead come under? How much was that altogether?
Well, on the Xbox, ironically, it's $25 altogether. Uh-huh. You can see... Pass it for 20 off of Steam or off of PSN.
So it wins both.
So it could win both, yes.
All so it wins best $60 game, best $20 or under game, and then game of the year. So it wins all three. Sweet.
Yeah, and maybe we just have an overall game of the year. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's good.
We have to have that one. The overall game of the year.
That's the one. Okay. But if we do a separate one where we divide, the $60 and the kind of basically it's downloadable, isn't it? But maybe right. It involves iPhone games, anything that's a smaller kind of budget thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we mention the biggest letdown category? Because I think that's one way of voicing.
We're getting there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we are getting there. So best DLC, this one I'm on the fence with. I'm not 100% sold on this category.
DLC?
Yeah, because it's...
Scrap it, Greg.
Yep. All right.
Get rid
it's
of that.
Out.
Fuck DLC.
There were a number of people that threw out, best first-person weapon or best weapon. So maybe best new weapon?
Favorite maybe weapon fucked everyone up in the game. Weapon.
Sure.
Okay, so are we just going with best weapon?
Yeah.
Or is it the best new weapon? So this way you can't say the battle rifle is not a new weapon, so that can't
gotcha.
Be in the
right. Okay. Okay. Best new weapon.
Okay. Best commercial for a game.
Oh, that's a good one.
This one. Yeah, I thought that was fun. Worst game of the year.
Worst game of the year. Yep. Well, we gotta have that one here. Yep.
Biggest letdown of the year.
Yep, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, isn't necessarily the worst game of the year, but could be just the game that, you know, what was that game from that Bethesda, the shooter?
Brink.
Brink, yes. Talk about a huge letdown. It wasn't horrible, but God, that was a letdown. Another one that was thrown out there, best box art. Feeling that? Yeah.
Not really fussed about box art. People, there's a big thing about Bioshock Infinite's box art this week. And I really thought, who gives a shit? But you know what?
All right, well, let's scrap that then. Who gives a shit means we don't talk about it.
Sometimes I look at box art, I like it. You know what I mean? But it doesn't, I don't get irate about it, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, I don't go, fucking hell, how dare they? Apart from the American, there is bad box art, the American Heavy Rain cover compared to the British Heavy Rain cover. It's really shit box art, but I'm not going to sign a fucking petition or something and I'll get it swapped over or something stupid. So I like box art. I like Halo 4's box art, you know, things like that.
So we could definitely debate this, and it's a visual thing, but I think once we narrow down the category,
it's cool,
that can be debated.
Yeah, Plants 2, that's got a good cover on it, I like that.
Most surprising success.
I can think of two games straight away.
Yeah. Best surprise game or, you know, most surprising success. Maybe
like
that's
Sleeper, basically. It's
yeah, it's Sleeper, but this could also be, it could be DLC. You know, maybe there's a piece of DLC out there that you were just like, I didn't expect me to, you know, to like this at all.
Yeah.
And I did. I doubt that'll make the final cut, but. Yeah, so I like the most surprising success. And then the biggest what the fuck moment.
Biggest what the fuck moment. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
So, And those are pretty much the categories. I looked. I mean, there were some other more community-centric ones, but, you know, we do have, even though we're the community podcast, I know we have a little bit of a wider audience, and I feel like that's maybe going to make some
listeners. Let me propose something on that, Greg. Let me propose something.
Yes, propose something.
Why don't we, and I'll start a thread about this, let's do those community-based awards in the community. We'll let people vote for them, and that can be our community spotlight.
There you go. Excellent idea. Okay. You are tasked. Start the thread, and we'll make that the community spotlight.
So you a freaking task. Delays.
All right. Well, this went much easier than I thought it would go. Huh? Are there any that we're missing? Any that you guys feel should be included? Is Rich still awake?
I'm here.
Just making sure. Been awfully quiet through this, Rich. Usually you're very vocal when it comes to Game of the Year stuff.
That's because I keep getting killed by a guy with a riot shield.
That's what you get for playing games while
have we got, like, overhyped? I always feel like the overhyped section always.
Now, here's a question.
Disappointed,
would that be
yeah.
the biggest letdown?
Yeah, leave it. It's splitting hairs, isn't it? Ah, fuck it.
What about best villain?
Is there many contenders for that now?
I
can't really think of many.
I mean, I know there are, but maybe
that's the only one I can think of is Halo 4.
Best protagonist?
Oh, that's always Master Chief.
It is always Master Chief.
Commander Shepard would have something to say about that.
Well, he fucked everything up, didn't he? It's his own fault.
He was a shoo-in up until the final.
Yeah. Well, I still got a guy. Can't think of any more.
Well, because this is riveting podcast, maybe we just leave it at this.
I think that's
a number of categories. And don't forget, we're going to be arguing about these all next week.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, that will be our show next week.
Probably best
going
to keep it as it is.
All right. Excellent. Well, that does it. It is time for the show break. And when we come back, we will dive into community mailbag. We will talk community events, our spotlight for the week, as well as our gaming fact for the week. And we can wrap up the show.
Woohoo!
I'm going for a break. I'll not be a minute.
We are the undead. the mail, Pip.
Yep, and we mail them, all right.
All right, we are back from the break. And, yeah, it's time we get this show towards closure.
It's getting late over in the UK, Greg.
It is. It is, Mike. And in fact, it's getting late. Well, no, just to where you guys are at. all right, question for this
You're
week.
You're right, Chris.
What will be your game of choice to play right before the world ends? Which, by the way, in case you do not know, it is 10 days from now, 9 if you live in the UK. By the time you read this or listen to this, you're probably only going to have 8 days left to live.
Oh.
It is coming fast and quickly.
So much to do.
Sorry, Mike. Sorry.
Ah, well, I'll get over.
All right. So, Mr. Matthew, what game are you going to play? World is ending.
The world is, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Well, right now I've set myself to completing XCOM on classic Iron Man difficulty, so I'd better hop to. I was just thinking the other day how XCOM was a piece of my childhood that was actually handled properly in my adulthood. You know, like G.I. Joe was destroyed, Transformers were destroyed, He-Man was destroyed, all these things from my youth. So, XCOM is going to be my choice.
Okay. It's not a bad choice. I kind of like it. Wish I had thought of it first.
Like I said, Greg, different.
all right, Mr. Chin. The world, you are about to die. What are you going to play?
Well, I'm
going to
play a game that I haven't already played. I think I might play Fallout New Vegas, because I've been trying to play it for ages. And then it'll get ready for the post-apocalyptic world with a training simulator.
Okay.
Yeah. Fallout New Vegas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Mr. Primrose, certainly don't want to forget about you. I never do that.
I'd probably hop on a plane, get myself over to Japan, be cat burglar like, all in black, and break into From Software, and get some hands-on Dark Souls 2. That'd be me.
Hmm.
No, but if I had to play a game, because if I didn't know when it was going to happen, I'd want something that I could play quick. I'd probably go back to a classic. I'd probably be playing Geometry Wars or something, so that when my missus was shouting at me and saying, "Life is the end of the world, get off that Xbox," I could just jump off quite quickly. Pause it.
Yeah, it's probably a practical idea, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you, Greg?
The XCOM thing certainly would be there. That is a game prime for dealing with the end of the world. Also, alien invasions. And seeing as how I don't have any Fallout games in my current games at my house, I think it would be probably going back and finishing up Borderlands 2.
Yeah, I might join you on that.
Yeah, something kind of wastelandish that, I want a training simulator, something that's going to get me ready for what is to come. Because, I'm hopeful I'll survive the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
If it's the end of the world, it's the end of the world.
What do you mean? What are you going to do?
Play Borderlands 2.
Exactly.
All right, Mr. Matthew, we had forum responses.
Yes. Yes, we did. These crazy people keep turning up to these insane topics that we post, and we thank them. We do. So, the Gaming for the Elderly community says that the world is ending. Steve-O-Matic will be reminiscing with the God of War saga on PlayStation 3. Although, you better be careful, Steve. The world might end before you finish updating. Maybe a little... Maybe a little Saints Row the Third as well, since I just started playing that on the PC. PC.
See.
Betty Bear says, I think I'll play... Or if my Xbox is on, I'll fire up Skyrim, as it hasn't seen the light of day in a while. Betty Bear says he wants to have sex if the world is ending.
Gotcha.
Shinyverse says, my wife and I won't be playing video games. Yes, we get it. And Steve-O-Matic says, ah, you prefer to watch TV then. Well played, sir. And Shinyverse says, yes, most likely TV and probably some show I don't like. At least he knows his place in the world. Old Rex says, I need to get to level 50. Need to get to level 50 in Borderlands 2 before the end of the world. Also, complete Far Cry 3 and Assassin's Creed 3 and too much to play, not enough time. Also, Fallout 3 seems appropriate. Bongo the Saiyan says, Jetpack. I'll just have to fire up the first game I ever played on a home computer. Good point. Which he sent from his iPhone 6 using a flux capacitor. The Ginger Ninja says, I think I would rather be out on my mountain bike getting some huge air into the burning pits of hell with the biggest grin on my face the world has ever seen. If not,
so Trials HD?
Yes. If not, maybe Manic Miner. LOL.
Hmm.
Dana says, Xbox Live is pretty damn stable, but I doubt it's robust enough to survive the last few hours before the apocalypse. I'll probably die playing FIFA, trying to get into a match with a frozen lobby, constantly asking my party, can you hear me now? What a pathetic way to go. Perfect. Let's see. Super responds to Odrex in his long list of bucket list games. Looks like you need to figure out how to keep the world from ending. And Happy Mr. Chicken says, Skyrim. If the end of the world is imminent, I won't have to worry about multiple saves files breaking my Xbox. True enough. Yep. And that's the game for the elderly responses.
Okay. I think we had at least one lag response. And of course, I am not prepared for that. So, Rich, I know we do have Twitter responses.
Yep.
Why don't you take the Twitter responses and I'll chime in with lag after that.
Yeah, we had Jonathan Wilson, otherwise known as John Miles. He put in Fallout 3, so he's well prepared. Common theme emerging. Then Grease Fish Lips, Marty, he put Dead Island, just to crack a few skulls before he departed. That would be sweet. And then we had Dr. C. Smith, Colin, who said Super Mario World on the SNES, gaming perfection. And then we had, after that, Xbox support, chimed in with nothing relevant. Got loads of blather this week, haven't we? Fallout 3 came in again from Amras89, Gary Lever. He's got to prepare for the Wasteland as well. Gary DeFelice, he put in Fallout 3, got to prepare for the Wasteland. Bloody hell. And
I want to see some more imagination, people.
No, that's about it. That was it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay. Well, we did get a response from GamerGirl27. She said, probably Battlefield 3, Skyrim, or Lego Lord of the Rings. Thank God I managed to finish the main quest in Skyrim, although my bucket list is going to be all shot to hell. So, no bucket list for her, apparently, but at least she got the main quest of Skyrim done.
Yeah.
And that was the only response on lag. Short, to the point. At least I did post the question up a few days beforehand, not just at the last minute.
That always helps.
So, it does. All right. So no new question for next week, because next week's episode is going to be all about debating of the categories that we just discussed. So you're certainly welcome, and we'll tweet off something for you to respond to. Maybe even post something up. But basically, next week's show is just going to be us arguing.
Sweet.
So if you like
so
that.
So tune in next week. Wow. To listen to me tune punch Greg week. In the face right through the internet.
Why?
It is not a PC, asshole. but yeah, right about now, we play a jingle.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Thank you. community events.
Welcome back to the events section of the show after the riveting jingle. Monday nights, you should be able to sing it with me by now. You ready, people? Monster Mondays on Minecraft. Monday Night Halo, still going strong. We had a good showing last week. Let's keep it up. Keep the backstabbings and headshottings and things happening. Friday Night Racing, still going strong. 8:15 in the UK. I should mention Monday Night Halo happens twice. 8 p.m. in the UK and 8 p.m. on the East Coast. So two chances. And Sunday, the Gaming for the Elderly F1 2012 tournament continues, and the veteran gamers will be playing Counter-Strike on the Steams, because Greg hates PCs. Counter-Strike Go, that is, to be more specific. Yep, well said.
Yep.
Happy birthday this week to Aqua Rider and DeLady Violet. And welcome to the new members, Smash Gaming Projects, Susan K, Comrade, K-G-O-N-A-Y. You can try to pronounce that. Art Friesen.
Would you not?
Kione. I'm going to go with Kione. How's that? Kione?
Sure.
Sure. Art Friesen. Biatch.
I'm going to say K-G-N-A.
Whatever.
I'm just going
to
interrupt you.
I'm going to tell you to stop talking. Biatch Squelcher.
That's all you had to say. You just had to say Biatch Squelcher, baby.
Yes. Shark. David Daz. Teflon 12, Norosa 1, and Junior Monkey Boy, who would like to remind everyone to check in on the forums every now and again. And that, victory is achieved this week. Bongo the Sane finished The Walking Dead episodes 2 through 5 and the Spec Ops The Line. John Mouse finished The Bourne Conspiracy. Why? Why?
Oh, God, that game was crap.
I played that game back in my achievement whoring days, and I felt dirty. Anyway, Greasy Fish Lips finished Dead Island, Parsnip Nose 3000 finished Max Payne 3 and Spec Ops The Line, GamerGirl27 finished Lego Lord of the Rings, Marcanix finished Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Nader finished Saints Row the Third, SLH finished The Walking Dead Episode 2, and Blue Baru finished Get the Game. Yeah, Void Games, right?
That's the one. That's the one. Hey,
see? There we go.
Yeah.
I think we just made 2 pence. A reminder about the Victories Achieved contest. If you would like to be entered into the contest, you must take a picture of you with the ending game credits and tweet it to @g4te.com. That's D-O-T, spelling the dot. Be a follower and get that tweet in by January 31st, 2013. Must be 18 years of age. Yeah, yeah. And with that and me done stammering over myself, we're out to the field to our favorite correspondents.
Yes. Parsnip, I believe, is going to be first up. Mr. Chin?
Yes, Parsnip. Let me just find that file for you. And here it is.
Hello, everyone. This is Parsnip with another weekly community spotlight. Well, this week, I want to mention two people. That would be Skulduggerer and Filthy. Really, just because they were so thrilled when we reintroduced Tapper Talk to the forum. And if you don't know what Tapper Talk is, you probably should, especially if you own a smartphone. So if you want to use your smartphone to interact with the G4TE forum, you can. Tapper Talk. TAPATALK.com. Anyway, Filthy and Skulduggerer, thank you. You gave me an opportunity to mention Tapper Talk. I won't spell it again. And Chinny, I promise I won't say peeps anymore. But you need to look up Harry Enfield and Stavros, and then you will find out where peeps comes from.
Oh, I know who Stavros is. He's a pot of the arse, isn't it?
Peeps come from marshmallows.
Peeps. Yeah, peeps, exactly. No. Yellow peeps.
Stavros is a Turkish kebab shop owner.
He was Greek.
Harry Enfield. Was he Greek?
Yeah, he was Greek.
He was one of them. And he goes, I support the arse, isn't it? Stavros. Making me air like I don't know Harry Enfield. Come on, Parsnip. Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
You know, I'm staring at my screen blankly and wishing I had a peep right now.
Right. We do the game fact?
I think we should do the game fact.
I think we should.
Oh, by the way, Parsnip.
Hello, it's Bongo the CM here.
I wanted to say thank you to Parsnip.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Parsnip!
I want to say thanks, Parsnip. Because
Tapestock also thanks Parsnip. Brilliant. I think he makes one penny every time someone buys it.
Yes. I'd also like to apologize to Twitter because it means I'm going to be using Twitter a lot less. Hey ho.
Twitter hates
Hey-o.
Hello, it's Bongo the Sane here, and welcome to another gaming fact. After completing The Walking Dead Episode 5, zombies have been high on the agenda this week for me. I thought I'd reminisce a little bit about zombies. Words were spoken at the setting of time. Words which put together told a terrifying tale, a prophecy of doom. Man had crossed into the black land and returned diseased. Evil had found a door into another kingdom. Somehow it had to be kept shut. Prehistoric man had kept vigil until it was forgotten why. Of course, they thought you were crazy, but you insisted on returning to that ancient place just to make sure. You had a feeling about these relics, a feeling of death. Unwittingly, you had sprung an invisible lock off an invisible door. Prophecy is about to be fulfilled. The dead will rise again to eat the flesh of the living. That passage was taken from the instruction manual of a game called Zombie Zombie, which is recognized to be one of the very first, if not the first game, to have zombies in it. It was made by a company called Quicksilver back in 1984 and designed by a chap called Sandy White. Quite funnily, at about the same time, Michael Jackson had released the Thriller video, which at the time was an 18 certificate and was aired at midnight, and a lot of us stayed up to watch that video. Also in the instruction manual was a disclaimer by Sandy White, which read, "Due to strong personal convictions, I wish to stress that this game in no way endorses a belief in the occult." Now, those of you who are as nerdy as me will recognize that Michael Jackson, for the Thriller video, which was released at roughly the same time, made the exact same disclaimer about the Thriller video. Zombie games have come a long way since 1984 and Quicksilver Zombie Zombie, the likes of The Walking Dead in 2012, fully fleshed out story, excuse the pun, to a fantastic game. I wonder where zombies are going to go to next. I wonder if George Romero, the director that introduced the modern day pop culture zombie back in 1968 in a movie called Night of the Living Dead, I wonder if he ever thought that all these years on, that that creature that he had created would be so embedded in our pop culture. In Wikipedia, if you go in and have a look for retail games, you will find over 100 titles of one shape or another. And zombies have been with us long before man landed on the moon. I think they're here to stay. Bongo out. No brains were eaten during this recording.
I don't believe that last disclaimer to be true.
I do not either.
Unless Bongo's a teetotaler.
I have a question. And it came up because of the early reading he did where it said the dead will rise up again to eat the flesh.
Mm.
That implies we had a zombie uprising before.
Before, yeah.
Well, I think that was the whole thing, right? The prehistoric man stood vigil, right? Because they had to put down the zombie uprising once before, right?
But, so then we kind of already know how to deal with the zombies?
No, nah, man, because that's old school. Like, none now live who remember kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you would think that would be passed down. That's like information you should be putting in a book.
Yeah. It's kind of like, saying, this is how you hunt.
Prehistoric people didn't have books, right?
By the way, zombies are going to come and kick the shit out of you, so this is how you kill them. Maybe they forgot to put that down.
Maybe what Chris is trying to say is some of those cave drawings that we're seeing them spear-chucking spears at other people, it's not really other people, they're zombies.
Mm. Entirely possible.
It's got deep.
It also could be entirely bollocks.
It's pretty much. Indie Writer's Block. Oh, by the way, Bongo, thank you for that.
Thank
awesome
you, Bongo.
Game, as always. Indie Writer's Block. Hey, people, if you want to write, if you like to write, you like to write about games, you like to write, combine the two, it's like peanut butter and chocolate. Just throw them together.
Peanut butter. Delicious.
Indie Writer's Block. Shinyverse commands the helm of the Indie Writer's Block, so he's the one you need to get in contact with. You need to email him at iwb@g4te.com, or you can send him a tweet at iwblock, and he'll hook you up, let you write.
He'll hook
you don't
you
have to write
up.
About games that I want. You could write about fictitious barbecue plates that Mr. Matthew talks about all the time.
Yeah, I like to make stuff up.
I knew it. iTunes reviews. We do like our iTunes reviews, so send us more. Especially you in the U.S. If you're an American citizen and you're listening to this podcast, you are bound, you're duty-bound to make an iTunes review. Somewhere in the Constitution, it's in there. It says,
yeah, right next to the word muskets.
Right there. Mr. Matthew.
Greg.
If you were going to call our lovely podcast and want to leave us a message, because you can do that, you know, what number would you call?
867 No, you would call 626-506-2763 or 626-50-OC-POD, which in no way stands for Orange County Police Officer's Desk.
Mike, if you wanted to send a tweet off to the show and have it be responded to by Rich or me faking myself out as Rich, what would that Twitter be?
That Twitter would be OC_podcast.
Right. Don't forget the at.
Oh, yeah. The at thing.
And the at thing. It's almost important. Rich.
Hmm?
If you were going to create an email in between your gaming sessions while you're podcasting.
Yeah.
And you wanted to send that email to our show.
Yeah.
What email address would you use?
Would that be ocpodcast@gmail.com?
It would indeed. It would indeed. At this point in time, I would like to say thank you to everyone who's tuned in.
Thank you, everyone.
And I would like to say, Mr. Matthew, go with shout-outs. Go.
I'm going to shout-out Shinyverse for hosting Monday Night Halo and all of the people that turned up. Especially everyone who shot me a lot, because that's what happens. I get shot a lot. But it was fun. You should be there next week. And that's me done. Rich.
I would like to shout out Sensei Switch, Steffi Business, Mr. Killer Cranky, Mucha Rubble, except Mr. Fish, Cinema Dan, and also Webby 360, because they were all partaking in banter, helping me with my inadequate knowledge of games on Sunday night. Because I was playing Guess the Game, and I reached a spot where I was stuck, because it was all NES games, and they helped me through it. And also the Void Game Boys, they were also on as well. So, yeah, that was good. And it was good to hear that Mr. Killer Cranky as well finished it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so well done, that man. And also, I want to also shout out the Tapper Talk, because it is a great little way of getting yourself into the older forums again, but mobile. So that's good. Got one last shout out. I've got a shout out to the Skylander Two Fairies, because my son had his first tooth fall out, and what happened was, we've got a very if you guys, you've got your young kids and that, when their teeth start falling out, don't start doing anything extravagant like writing letters from fairies and stuff, because you have to do it every bloody time. So because our girls had all had little letters from fairies, we had to do something similar for James, but obviously he's a bit more boyish, and he's well into his Skylanders. So I came up with a cunning plan. His tooth fell out, and basically I said to him, get yourself a Skylander and stick your tooth underneath the Skylander, and let's see if we can get a Skylander Tooth Fairy to come and get it. So, lo and behold, the next morning, he got up and there was a pound underneath his Skylander, which he was chuffed about. So then what I said to him was, so that means it must have been a Skylander Tooth Fairy. Let's go and check out the portal. So you've got the portal that you put your toys on and they go into the game, don't they? So
right. He
went to check out the portal and lo and behold, the tooth was still there. So we've now got an elaborate story where the tooth fairies can come through the portal, but they can't take the teeth back. So, yeah, he's amazed. He's absolutely astounded.
You realize you're going to wake up tomorrow, your kid's teeth are all going to be out. He's going to have pulled every one of them so he can get more Skylanders.
Yeah. Damn right.
He was okay, what? Daddy.
Yeah. Worked a treat. Yeah. Yeah, so who's next?
Mike.
Hello. Shout out the Void Gang guys again. They're bringing out the Guess the Game game to iPad soon. I saw it working on an iPad today. So that was cool. Basically, they just have to change all the size resolutions and all sorts of shit. I don't know. I just pretend I know what they're talking about. So, thanks to everybody that's kind of downloaded it from our community. I know people have been playing it. Skull, yourself,
yeah,
and a few other people. They do appreciate it. They do get excited when other people are playing it and finishing it very quickly. If you haven't, leave a review on the App Store for them because it all helps. So I'll share it to Void Games and Guess the Game. So download it now. And it's free. And shout out to Halo Wars because it's awesome. That's me. Mr. Matthew. Bet I do. Chris.
Okay. Mr. Matthew's already gone.
No?
Oh, is it? What I do? Yeah.
I just wanted to say, bet I do, Chris.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay. There you go.
Bet I do, Chris. You never saw that you know that Jim Everett thing?
Yeah, I know
Everett?
Not of Jim Everett.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
sorry.
He was a footballer or some shit.
Mm.
Oh, that Jim Everett, yes.
Was he? Is that right?
Now I know what you're talking about. You're talking about when he basically tried to kill Jim Rome on the Rome show.
Because he kept on calling Chris Everett.
No, he was calling him Chrissy.
Chrissy, but
Everett.
He called him Chris.
Yeah.
And he goes,
right, right.
Well, how about that? Chris Everett on the show, everyone. Yeah. He goes, you know.
Call me that again. Call me that again.
I bet you don't call me that again. Bet I do. Chris.
Chris.
So, just love
that stuff. And then Chris Everett literally threw the table out of the way and was going to rip his head off.
Yes.
Jim Rome would have lost that battle very badly.
Oh, yeah. But how can he stop himself? Well, bet I do. Chris, like, it's so worth it.
Jim Rome was the soundtrack to my visit to America because our brother-in-law always had him on in the car when we was driving around at night.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Is he good then? Is Jim Rome, is he funny?
He has his moments of being funny. He's kind of lost a little bit of his
credible
cool factor. Yeah. He's now kind of more. His shows, honestly, now are not so much about his commentary as they are so much about his listeners. Like, a lot of the listeners call in and they give their takes. But to give a take on his show, it's like you have to be super prepared. You have to, you know, be completely polished with what you're going to be saying. You can't read it from a script because they'll cut you off and shut you down. But yeah.
Bet I do.
Crit. Bet I do. Yes.
So good.
Yeah. You know, I want to shout out Greasy Fish Lips, Parsnip, and Bongo the Sane just because they deserve shout outs. I want to shout out Void Games for unequivocally denying me an Android version of the
game.
Basically telling me to pound sand. Appreciated that. Kidding. They were very polite about it. He tried to, you know, basically explain, you know, lots of different Android devices, lots of different specs. It's too difficult. I tried to convince him to steal the phone from Tahara because since she has the S3, that's the only version I want, guys.
Yeah.
On the S3.
I did ask him about that. I said, what about the S3? That's like one of the most popular Android devices. And he said, nah.
Yeah. So
they have to every time they
thanks guys.
They have to test it all the time. So basically they have to own one. So whatever they own, they can test it on.
Then maybe they should stop being snooty iPhone lovers and welcome Android lovers.
Yeah. You see, or said, not. If you've got one, we could test it on yours. And then I was like, well, no.
You guys fly me over to England and I will give you my phone.
Bit extreme. Bit extreme.
Rich, we're going to finish out the show with a new sound effect for your future game that you're going to make.
Oh. Are we really?
Do you reckon? Yes.
I don't think so. I can't wait till I unlock the silencer for this.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
That's it. We're done.
It's like end of term when everybody brings the games in.
Yeah, I remember that. That was good. Bye, everyone.
Toodles.
Is that the couch I'm hearing hello. Again? Is that hello?
That's just me saying hello.
No, I
just sound like a couch.
What is that?
What is that?
My friend. This, my friend, is my plastic MP5 for the Die Hard party. Good.
Yeah. Oh,
well, I need
Rich.
To get it out of my system. I need to get it out of my system now. That's
you
all
do.
I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday the 27th is no good for me.
Okay.
So I'm on the road from the 27th through the 31st.
What in God's name is that sound?
Sounds like someone is eating crisps.
Well, somebody's making sounds.
Yes.
Yeah. I tell you what, if I get that reaction off Chris every time, I'm going to do it all night.
Now. I mean that. What kind of crisps are we eating today?
May.
Yes, I believe you're the only one eating crisps at this time.
I'm eating nuts.
You're eating nuts? I love... What kind of nuts? We talking pistachios? You talking almonds? Peanuts?
Peanuts.
Peanuts. Salted? Unsalted?
Salted.
Salted. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do toffee peanuts?
No.
Oh, you've got to try toffee peanuts.
Toffee peanuts?
Love.
A thing.
They are a thing. A butter toffee coated
real
peanut.
Greg.
You know what?
Reality.
It's real enough for me. Butter, toffee, covered peanuts. You will.
Okay, let's go.
All right, we're ready now?
Where's the rocket?
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
This, whatever the hell we're doing, let's just do it.
We're doing it. We're doing it live. Doing it live!
Okay.
Fag.
It's very rare I'll get called fag, so it makes me laugh when I get called fag.
And, you know what used to always make me laugh is whenever I heard somebody refer to that, like, as a cigarette. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Here we go.
Fag. That was
sorry.
Wicked.
That's it.
Oh yeah, I bet it's this.
This call is being recorded.
Backup.
Doubly recorded.
Doubly bitch.
Doubly recorded.
You're on video.
Bada bing.
not Berserk.
Jesus. I'm glad I'm playing Xbox and not podcasting. Oops, did I really say that?
You too? We're like the slackers on the show, me and you, Rich.
You are slackers, Jesus. All right, here we go.
Slacker.
Chris, you're going to be reading off gate and lag anyway. See, I knew if we talked about starting, Rich would come back.
Yeah.
You're like a genius, but different.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
I'll take that one.
Jingle, jingle, jingle. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Jingle, jingle, jingle is done. Yeah? Good.
Yeah. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real scientists are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.